The first reading is from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending the light of the world to this dark place. But Father, we want to pray for today. We want to pray for your Spirit to shine upon these old stories that we know so well, that are so true. May they come afresh to us. May we just marvel at such a God, at such a Jesus. Lord, we just ask this because we can't do it and we need you to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I drove past 30 of these things this morning on the way to church. What do you think it was? If I was in my other country that I go to, I'd say, is anybody alive out there?
Signs.
Signs, yes. How did you guess that? Yeah, signs. That's right. It's incredible, isn't it? 30 signs. And we have so many signs on the roads, and they're there for a reason, believe it or not. They're supposed to inform us, and that we're supposed to change our actions according to them. So I was hoping for a much younger audience, but we've got a few, so let's have a look. See what this first one means. What do you think that means? Stop, thank you. That's it, we've got one live one there, yeah, so stop sign. If you don't stop at that, it goes shooting straight across, bang, you're going to get hit, aren't you? So the next one, hopefully a bit more. Oh, yes, here we have. Yes. Well, let's see. I think you're probably right. Roadworks might be happening. Isn't that our experience? Yes? You go past them and think, yeah, one day there'll be somebody digging a hole, as we were told there. Next one. Oh, that one. Sorry? Can't hear. First aid, did you say? Anyway, it's first aid. Yes, that's right. Now, just for your information, ours is just around the corner. Hopefully we won't need to use it. Right. So, another one. Ah, now this is a more taxing one. No, that's right. If you're a taxi, true. Too true. All signs don't matter. I mean, no, anyway, no. Right, so adults, I think we might need, this is an interesting one. I wonder how many people remember the highway code. What is this? Which way is it? It's quite important that I'm doing the exact expressions. Thank you, Eve. So, yes, it's priority. Now, there's another one that is in a blue one, and it's got different colours. But the main thing to remember is the bigger arrow has it. Yeah, so let's just confirm that. Yeah. priority. Good. That's. I wonder if. I don't know if cyclists know that one, but anyway, yeah. Let's go. Oh boy, I'm getting into deep water. And what are we up to now? Right. So, God. I want to look at God's supernatural signs to us today. Now, He didn't plonk signs in the middle of the pathway, and normally He spoke to us through prophets. He would give a word, and people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, etc., and then they would tell us what God was saying. But this is such a supernatural experience. All the three we're going to look at include supernatural beings, i.e. There's going to be angels on that. So the first one, we've got the first sign. There we go, and the next. Right, there we have, right, London City Council, I assume that stands for, Sir Isaac Newton. So if you go around London, anywhere in England, and you'll see these blue plaques, and they tell you this is the place where a very famous person was born. Otherwise you wouldn't know about it, and it would often be a very humble place. So there we have Sir Isaac Newton. Now when he was named, there was nothing in his name. It's Isaac, so Newton. So they named him, and it was probably his father who named him. He didn't know what he was going to become. He just called him Isaac. And he went on. See how alive you are. He was the first Apple guy. He was before Steve Jobs. Yes, there. Thank you. Right, you are alive. Right, so we have this plaque, and it just shows you a famous place on there. So, but God doesn't do that. He actually sends angels to tell us about it. So the first sign is the angel will give birth to a son to be called Jesus. Now, this is from the reading that we had before that Esther read so well. And it's interesting, all of these signs are building on Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where it's told that the virgin will give birth to a son and we will call him Emmanuel. So this one, what it adds to us is, it tells us in verse 31 that Mary will conceive and give birth to a son. So, but the bit of detail now that's added is you are to call him Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't have an earthly father, so therefore, who was going to name him? God did through the angel. So he gave him the name Jesus. Now, we're not told what that name means in this passage, but later on we will be. So the first sign is that the virgin will give birth to a son and he's to be called Jesus. So that's the first miraculous sign, and it was given by no less than Angel Gabriel, one of the only two angels that are named. He's one of the top echelons, probably an archangel, etc. And this was so important. He sent his top guy, the top messenger, to tell us. And I think now we're going to have a song. And I think there's probably some actions to this song. Jesus Saves, is there? Have we got any action people today? No, they're all on holiday.
The second reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thanks, Jenny. Could we have the second sign? Let's see if we get this one. Right. Younger element. Any ideas? The back row is quiet, so obviously it's not a very popular one, not a well-known one. No heckling from the back.
Public rescue.
Yes, there you go. Wowee. Does anybody know what it is? Oh, well, yeah. There should be one on the Charwell of the river. I was just thinking there should be a few of those along the river on there. Now, do you call it a life ring, a life buoy, a life belt? It seems to have different things. But in the event of an emergency, I think if you just say a ring, it'll probably help you. So you need to know where this is if you ever go on the Charwell, and take note of it, because if you fall in and you can't swim, this is you're going to save you. And so we come to the second supernatural sign. So if you put yourself in Joseph's shoes, he was not visited by an angel at first, right? So Mary, I assume, tells him when she starts to show. And strange to say, he doesn't believe it. After all, it's the first time this has ever happened. And you're thinking, well, it's very convenient, very convenient. And so he decides that he should obey what the God's Lord says, that basically he should divorce her. But he loves her. And so he decides to do it quietly, which is very gracious of him, because it will get around and he will look dishonored and there'll be shame to her, obviously, as well. So that's what he decides. That night he has a dream. Now, to us, if we have a dream, it's usually because we've watched something or we've eaten something. But in God's time, because people believed in dreams, he spoke very powerfully through dreams. Now, how he knows it's the angel speaking to him, we don't know. But he's definitely aware that an angel appears in his dream. And it backs up everything that Mary has said. Now, that must have been quite something when you think about it. She said it was going to be conceived by God's Spirit. And in fact, just in verse 18, it says that she was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So already he knew that, but he chose not to believe it. And it would be a son. But he adds one further detail. Not only does he give him a name, but why he's given that name. And it basically, the name Jesus just means the Lord saves in general. But in Jesus' case, it's very specific. It's he saves people, not people from a warring army or from economic crisis or whatever. They're going to save them. He's going to save them from their own sins. So instead of drowning, taking the metaphor of the lifebelt, instead of drowning in your sin, Jesus is going to, if you like, come alongside, be that life belt for you, and take you to the side so you won't drown. So we need this man. We need Jesus. He's the one who's come to save us from our sins.
Our next reading is from Luke chapter 2, from verse 8 to verse 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Janet. So now we're on to the third sign, and what we won't see for Jesus is the next one, hopefully. So I asked Caleb to do a little bit of doctoring there. So you've got Bethlehem City Council, Jesus of Nazareth, at some point between one, born in around 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, and to 33, born here. There's not going to be one of those. I mean, who would put a plaque upon where he was born? He was so unknown. And it's quite amazing to see that the third sign of this miraculous person, this person that was long foretold, that was going to come from the Virgin, that was going to have the name Jesus. We're filling in the detail. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was given the name Jesus because he would save their sins. But the third sign is really weird, isn't it? So let's read it in verse 11. So this is to the shepherds, poor humble shepherds having a quiet, nice little night like any other night, and then this host of angels appear. This is the actual announcement. This is not for a singular angel, even Gabriel. This is for the whole company, if you like, of angels to announce the child, the long-awaited child, has been born. And they say to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, the anointed one, the long-awaited one, the ruler. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Wow. The first two, definite miraculous, right? Virgin will give birth. That gets up there. That's miraculous, etc. And he will have this special name, and it would mean that he would save his people. Wow, this guy is really something special. But the third sign, it is not miraculous at all, is it? Anyone can place a baby in a feeding trough. But who puts a baby in a feeding trough? Even with all the cuts that are happening, all the problems, I don't see, if you went to the NHS JR, that they put your baby in a feeding trough. Sorry, we've run out of cubicles. Here's a feeding trough. You don't mind, do you? It is just absolutely weird. And this is the sign of this God becoming man. He's going to be in a feeding trough. And that is how you will know it. Because this guy is so unique, he can be put in a feeding trough and it won't affect his status. It will not change the course of history, but it will be a sign, an unmistakable sign. The other ones were unmistakable signs as well. This one is, if you like, not miraculous, but it's extraordinary that Jesus should be put in the manger. And this is the Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited one, the one who would set them free, the Lord, the ruler, is given his title. And there he is in a manger. That looks so rosy, doesn't it? Doesn't that look so rosy? You think, well, that's not too bad. Let's go for a rural birth. You know, you have your natural one, you have your water baby. Let's go for a rural one. Let's go to a stable and put him in that and reenact that. Nowhere near it, is it? But if you said to your parents, son or daughter, "Oh, we're going to have our first one. We're going to put it in a feeding trough." They'd say, Have you been to the doctor recently? Are you still taking your tablets? I mean, it just is so amazing, isn't it? And that is the sign. Now, I take my hat off to the shepherds, right? Joseph, I take my hat off as well. If I was in his position, I cannot say I wouldn't have done anything different. But the shepherds are thinking, what? This baby that you've said is going to be the Messiah, the Lord, and a whole host of angels have appeared, not in a dream, but before our very eyes, and it's in a feeding trough, in a manger. Well, it's a little bit too unbelievable. But they go. And I think in one sense, it makes it so easy to find him, because I don't know how many inns there were, that we think it's an inn in Bethlehem. But there wouldn't have been that many. The country I work in, you don't have guest houses in the village. There are, you know, people, you go in there and there's a relative. And you stay with them and they put you up and they do everything for you. But if you're not a relative, where do you stay? And then the best place they could find for the Lord, for the Christ, for the Messiah, was a feeding trough. So it makes it quite easy to find him. They just go to the only inn, probably, and find him there. And it's quite amazing for them to see this baby. And all babies, well, I wouldn't say all babies look the same, but all babies look baby-like, don't they? But there is something about this child that already emanates that he is the long-awaited one. So what does this all mean? What does this all mean? I think there's a sign, the next one. Right, children. Right, any children know what this sign is? Yes, Kasia? Kasia? You can go, yes. Yeah, anywhere particularly you think you're going for this one? Across the road, yeah. And usually it's around schools they put it. And the idea is that you should slow down, right? Whatever speed you were doing, slow down. There's going to be children crossing and you can't see them at the moment. Slow down. Because children do run across roads sometimes. They break loose. They see their friend pull away from their parent and shoot across the road. So you need to be ready for that child. Now, how do you feel, right? When you're walking with your child at the back there, Keziah or Ezra, how do you feel when you walk with your mummy to nursery or to school? You hold hands, yes, why? Yes, somebody's walking with you. And you feel safe, don't you? Yeah? So if a child sees a dog coming towards them, if they're not used to dogs, they will hold on to their mummy's hand. I mean, it's strange, isn't it, when you think about it, there's this dog that's going to be right in their faces and they hold on to the mum's hands, but they feel protected. They feel that they can trust their mum or their dad to protect them. And that's what these signs were for us. These were meant to make us feel that we could trust that God was for us. We could believe that God is with us and for us. It says that Emmanuel, and it's quite correct, means God is with us. That with is not like just sitting next to one another and walking the same path. This means far more than this. It's the sign that he's going to watch over you, take care of you. And it's a sign that we're supposed to take to heart and say that God is with us and for us and we should never doubt it. So if you think God is against me because I've done this, that and the other, I haven't done this or all that, etc., look at the Christmas story. Because long foretold 700 years that the Virgin would conceive and have a son and he'd call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So the idea is that Jesus comes to us and becomes one of us and then he can die in our place. So it's definitely not passive, it's definitely active on that. Now we see, I hadn't noticed this before, but if you look in the Matthew passage, it says, all this took place. And basically, it's the whole thing, the whole narrative that we've read is fulfilling what happened, what was revealed to Isaiah. So the virgin will give birth to a son, and his name, and he will be called Emmanuel. So everything around this story proves that God is with us and for us. He came to be like us so we could be with him. He came and died in our place so we could live with him. You cannot get more identifying than becoming us. See, I don't know if you realize, I hadn't until a few years ago. So all the Godhead were spirits. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All of them were spirits. But for the great plan of salvation, Jesus had to step outside of that. Now I know it's the same. I remember when a teenager, you do not want to be different, do you? Lay low. Not unless you're with the in crowd, whatever, but to step outside of that and to become man and to stay that. He's now in heaven and still God the Father is spirit and still Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a spirit. But there is Jesus there with a body for us. That is identification. The job I used to do many years ago, we lived out in another country. We went there to try and help them, but we could never become one of them. We'd always be an outsider. But Jesus became an insider by going outside the Godhead for us. It's incredible. One day perhaps we will get a chance, if we remember, to ask him, what did it feel like when you stepped outside and emptied yourself of everything and became a baby? What did that feel like? And you did it for us. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. He did that. It blows my mind to think anybody would be willing to do that for us. And that is why you can look at Christmas and say, God is for us. Because he sent somebody to be with us. God in human form. So don't doubt it. Think of what he went through just to be born. Then think what he did on the cross. How can anyone doubt that God is for them? He wants everyone. His will is none should perish. He sent a son so that none should know death. And his son tasted death so that we would never have to taste it again. Just hold that thought. Isn't that incredible? It blows your mind. So how should we... So how should we respond to that? How should we respond? Well, the story tells us so beautifully. Turn back to the last reading in Luke. So if you're not a believer, and I don't know, I can't see into anybody's heart, never mind everybody's heart. I don't know where you are today. Perhaps you've been coming to church and, yeah, it goes over your head. I've been there. It's a drudgery. But we should be, if you're not a believer, be like the shepherds when they heard the good news. So in verse 15 it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. Absolutely amazing. There wasn't a committee and saying, well, what do you think, folks? Do you think, you know, we've had too much drink tonight, or we haven't had enough sugar or anything like that? Maybe tomorrow, you know, when we bring the sheep down from the top there, if the owner's found that we've left the sheep up there, we're going to be in deep trouble, etc. Let's wait till tomorrow. Yes, yeah, a long night. I'm feeling a bit tired. Just got woken up by all those heavenly hosts. No. Let's just wait. Let's just wait tomorrow. No. They went. Let's go to Bethlehem. Emergency. Desire. And that's what if you are not a believer, look into the facts. We have courses here where if you want to get to know a little bit more about what Christians believe, why they believe what they do, then do talk to me or James at the front. There are ways, but don't put it off. Don't put it off. Go. Look at the facts. Read them for yourself. Ask for God to open them up to you and to see that, to be in no doubt, God is for us. God is with us if you believe in him. If you're a believer, well, like the shepherds, again, but this time it's post. So they show an urgency. Next time, in verse 17, when the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard about it were amazed. That is some of the saddest words in the New Testament. And all who heard it were amazed. But they didn't do anything. It's amazing, isn't it? You've just been told the Messiah, the Lord, the long-awaited one, is born and he's in a stable and he's in a whatever. Oh, let's go and see them. Oh, very interesting. It's so sad. You can be amazed at this story. You can be amazed at the wonderful fact that God loves us and sent his son. But if you don't personally respond to it, it stays amazement. They never did anything about it. The next day came and they'd forgotten about it. We're not told that anybody went up to that stable again. Yeah. Don't be amazed. Go and see him. Go and find out about him. So, but they spread the word. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She pondered, what does this mean for me? And I could ask you this question. What does Christmas mean for you? Once you leave here, you'll be into the throes of opening presents, getting the food ready, hopefully it's not burnt, and all the rest, stuffing ourselves, and it will have gone. What does Christmas mean to you? God is with us. God is for us. Thank you, Lord. And the shepherds return, glorifying, verse 20, and praising God. Wow, that's the very least, isn't it? The very least we can do. We can sing it. Just before you eat, have a moment when perhaps you just thank. Thank God that he loved us so much, that he was for us so much, that he sent his son. And his son stood outside that three, never to be rejoined as a spirit. And he did that for us. Marvel at it. Glorify. Praise his wonderful name for all that we've been told. And it's happened. We live this side of it. Let's just pause in prayer. I'm sure it'll just go out of your head straight away. Let's just pause and respond in our hearts. Lord Jesus, we just glorify you and praise you. We could never, ever, ever understand what it meant to empty yourself. We've never been anywhere near that. Never been anywhere near it. Yet you stepped outside and you stepped into our world, not as an adult, but as a baby. And you allowed yourself to be put in a feeding trough. And you were happy with that. You were pleased with that. Because it was for us. For our sake, you became man. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did not hold back. Help us to be never in doubt this coming year, to look back at Christmas and say, God is for us and with us. He will never, ever leave me. He gave all of that up to save me. He's for me forever. And one day you will take me by the hand and you will lead me into your presence. I give you thanks, Lord Jesus. That's all I can do. But also I can Ask that we all would just be conscious of it and live our lives in gratitude. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.